Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic.
It is my pleasure to welcome Sean Eisenhower back to the podcast. Welcome back, Sean.
Hi, James. Good to be back.
All right. Well, it's a pleasure to have you on. You know, I know you're busy getting ready for the hurricane. Hopefully it doesn't cause you too much grief.
Yeah, we're hoping it's just going to fly right by on the coast and not give us too much of a problem, more than maybe just a little water over the next couple of days.
All right. Well, hopefully it is relatively tame for you guys. But for those that may not be familiar with you, you are a founding partner of Iridicio. Prior to that, you've been involved in maintenance reliability and SMRP and all kinds of these great things over quite a period of time. Although very brief and vague, can you fill in the blanks for us?
Yeah, sure. I mean, as it pertains to today's discussion, I have been in the field about 18 years, working in implementation of reliability and reliability solutions. Over the years, I've got the pleasures of seeing some of the best performances, but I've also enjoyed a few that maybe weren't so great. So it gives me a nice perspective of what works and what doesn't. And I think we'll probably hit some of those things today.
All right, excellent. And the reason I brought you on today is we want to talk about the value of a planner certification. Now, this is a relatively new concept, so we're going to walk through certification of planners. What does it mean? How is it done? All those great things. But I really want to understand, what is the value of planners getting certified? But before we dive into all of that, let's start off with the very basics. What and who is a maintenance planner?
Oh, it's a great question. The maintenance planner is a role that I feel people really kind of struggle to implement. It is, I think about a lot of the roles and, you know, core roles to maintenance and reliability, things like reliability engineers, maintenance supervisors. The planner and the scheduler, or the planner scheduler, depending on the organization, is probably the one that I think folks really struggle to utilize to its full potential. I don't know if it's because it takes a lot of discipline to truly plan and schedule the work, or if it's more so that people just aren't aware of what to really expect from their planners. But the planner is really there to create the what we're going to do, the where we're going to do it, the tools that we're going to use to do it with, the steps that we need to know. They bring to us the best practices and the precision maintenance aspects. And then if they're a planner scheduler, they will take those and move them into the scheduling process.
All right. Excellent. So great summary of what a maintenance planner is. You know, they're developing those job plans. They're core to a lot of things that we do in maintenance and reliability. But how have planners been traditionally trained? Are they just the best tradesmen we have? You know, how have they been traditionally trained?
Well, I've seen a little bit of everything, James. It's been, you know, it's been, in some cases, the planner has been the planner for 10 or 15 years and they've assumed a role. And then you start asking questions about training and they've never really had any training. There's nothing formal about the process that they've been through. Then, you know, there are other planners that you meet that kind of went to what I call shotgun training. They went to some training course, they spent a week, they probably got really excited about training or planning and scheduling, but I can't really see that it changed anything about the way that they are working within the facility. And then there are others who really do succeed at planning and scheduling, and I feel like they do that through the application of the training more than anything else.
All right, excellent. So applying those skills, you know, informal training, potentially, you know, a 3-day class, application of skills, variety of different ways to train people. Now, how have organizations verified or validated competency of planners in the past? How do we know they're actually took that training, understand what they're supposed to be doing, and are doing what they're supposed to be doing?
Well, and I think that's one of the big problems, because planners are sometimes a role that people have just put into without a lot of training, or it's a role that's really misunderstood by the organization. I think because of that, they really haven't been verified. They haven't been. No one's really taken the time to say, this is a planner. Here are the things that a planner has to do in order to be successful. And this person can or cannot do those things. We just don't see that very often.
All right. I have to agree. I have very little experience with organizations who understood the competencies required for a planner, make sure they were trained to it, met it, demonstrated all those things. And I'm guessing that's where a planner certification comes in. So in your words, what is a planner certification?
Well, there have been a few flavors of planner certifications over the years. Most of them have kind of come and gone, and most of them were offered by individuals or companies, not so much an organization like a university or a nonprofit organization. We'll talk about that a little later, but you know, I think what we're beginning to see is a need to verify that these individuals truly have the skills. And what I mean by that is, a lot of times when we look at our planners, we find out that they call them planners, but they're really gophers, or they're fill-in supervisors, or you know, they're running the storeroom, or they're running the CMMS. They're really not focusing on those core skills. So what I love about this certification process that we've worked with the University of Tennessee to develop is that you have to apply every single one of the skills in your facility on your equipment. So we're not only helping folks to understand what a planner is, we're helping them to apply those skills directly to their equipment.
All right, excellent. So this is not an IRIDICIO certification. This is from the University of Tennessee School of Maintainability and Reliability, correct?
That's right. So it is from Reliability and Maintainability Center at UT. It is something that we are really excited that they have tackled, because, you know, as we looked out, we know that the planner is like the backbone almost. And I hate to say that, because of course, all parts of reliability, from the engineers to the supervisors, they're all important, but they're also all channeling information through the planner. And so to finally have a good certification process for the planner, to know that the planner is passing the right information and creating the right things, I think is going to make a step change in the way a lot of organizations run their planning and scheduling.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you mentioned a couple key points I want to clarify. You mentioned in the past there's different flavors of planner certification, some from individuals, some from commercial organizations. How do people know this isn't just a certification from a commercial organization trying to, you know, just figure out another revenue stream? How do we know this is actually going to make a difference?
Man, that's a great question, James. I do struggle with certifications this day and time, because it seems like every week I turn around and someone else has created a new certification. And it does really seem like something that folks are using specifically to generate revenue and not so much to drive behavioral change in the organization. So with that said, you know, what I think UT is doing here is they're actually looking to verify application. And I think that's a big difference. It's not just going and taking a test and passing a test. It's not going to a class that somebody teaches you the right answers to say, and then all you have to do is regurgitate those onto a test or a document. This is, you've got to go and do it. You've actually got to do something different in your facility. And I think that's what's going to make this really successful.
All right. Excellent. So you mentioned that University of Tennessee offers it, you know, in partnership with some providers, training providers like IRIDICIO. But what is required to actually obtain that certification?
So the way it works, at least for us through our IBL process, which is the way I'll talk about it, at least from this perspective, and then I'll share the second one with you in a second, is that the student gets to attend a planner, scheduler, kickoff. And this is where you do the hands-on things. This is where you go and you walk down equipment. This is where you work through criticality on a set of assets. We happen to do them on board the USS Shorttown. So we have the planners walking down the engine room and then coming back and doing criticality on the engine room. And then we have them planning jobs on the aircraft carrier, the systems aboard the aircraft carrier. Sometimes we use the jets on the flight deck. And so they're actually having to go through and use developing effective work procedures, techniques to build a good job plan. And we talk a little bit about PM optimization and really try to focus on the hands-on side while we're face-to-face during that first kickoff week. Then once the planner goes back to their site, now they're going to begin to use e-learning and their coaches. And the e-learning is there to reinforce what they saw at the kickoff week, but it's also to give them a little bit more knowledge in each of those areas. And then they have to apply that knowledge to their project area and submit that back to their coach. And their coach is giving them feedback. And I know, James, you get to do some of that coaching, so you can definitely add some details from that perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if we're reviewing, you know, asset hierarchy, well, did you consider this? Is this going to be consistent? Where are the equipment boundaries that you've established? What are the data points you need to make decisions down the road? Do we capture that in that hierarchy? Those sorts of things, right? You're asking those questions. You're making sure that the students are really applying the learnings in a way that's going to benefit their organization.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's a, you know, it's a great process because you've got that coach and you're going back and forth with that coach. That way, you know, there's always a lot of questions when you get back. And that's always been my struggle with traditional face-to-face training that doesn't have the coaching and e-learning component is, you know, you may run out of questions while you're in the classroom, but as soon as you get back to your facility, it's like, oh, I wish I had asked this, or now what do I do in this situation? Well, the good news is we've got our coaches available and you can call them and you can have that discussion and you don't have to fight the battles by yourself. You've got somebody to help you along the way.
Yeah, I get a lot of questions around level of detail in the job plans from the students that are out there rewriting job plans, building job plans. You know, are we at the right level? Do we need to go deeper here, not deeper, or a little less deep there? And, you know, that's a lot of the back and forth that we have with them so they understand what is actually required in a good job plan and package.
That's a great one. Yeah, I guarantee you get that question. There are a couple of questions I think we always get. One is, how many planners should we have? And the other one is, how detailed should the job plan be? So those are two points that we definitely spend time coaching about with our students.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out iridicio.com for a free copy of their ebook, A Smarter Way of Preventative Maintenance. This ebook will allow you to review your current maintenance program and eliminate the non-value-added work you are doing, which is most likely causing you more downtime than it is preventing. www.iridicio.com.
Absolutely. Now, they've gone through the work. They've done the face-to-face. They've done the e-learning. They've completed the coaching. They submitted their homework because, yes, that is part of the homework piece or e-learning piece. What do they got to do then?
So once they finish, we will basically have stepped them through all the different facets of planning and scheduling. So they will have seen it in the face-to-face environment. They will have done it in the e-learning or the safety of the e-learning environment. And then they have done it in their pilot area and submitted all those to the coach. Once they finish, that's going to build kind of a case study of what good planning looks like. And I know we just got one the other day that really gave us a great example of how all the pieces fit together. And I think that's one of the key things that we try to push is that these aren't individual pieces. They interact, they connect. And so the student gets to connect those pieces before they complete their project.
All right, excellent. So students do all this stuff. Then they get that certification from the University of Tennessee, correct?
That's right. So what they'll do is they'll finish up their case studies. They can submit those or they can attend the graduation week. Typically, we do those for us here in Charleston. And a part of that is to go ahead and let them present what they did. Let them learn from their peers that were doing the same thing at the same time and to get them ready to do it in the next area when they get back. So that's kind of our graduation process, if you will. Here on the ship. And then they're doing that both in front of Iridesio, but also in front of UT. So that gives us the proof that they really understand and can apply the content. And UT provides that certificate at that point, and then the certification as well. So they've got the letters, they've got the certificate, they've got something that they can take back with them. But the company also has the great results that are documented in the case study.
All right, excellent. So they go through, they do all of this work. What's the benefits for the planner of having this certification?
You know, that's the thing I like about this process. And I think it's awesome that we have this as an opportunity for planners, because it really didn't exist in the past. Now they've got a way to demonstrate that they understand what planning and scheduling really is. And, you know, not that we train people to leave, but it's inevitable that some people are going to move on to other organizations. And if they do, they've got examples of where they've applied these disciplines. To be honest, you know, and I've heard stories from some of our other IBL students through the years, being able to walk into an interview with all of the various tools demonstrated in a portfolio has got to blow interviewers away. And of course, you know, again, we're not trying to train people to leave, but, you know, as an individual, it does have a lot of value so that person can teach others, that person can move up in their own organization, or they can take that certification with them to other organizations.
All right. Excellent. So tremendous benefits for the planners. Now, what about for the organizations? What's the benefit for them?
Well, so the organizations, the thing that I love about this is that they're going to create a case study that shows what good looks like in this facility. So that means that I can take that and I can go to the other planners into the organization and I can say, look, this is what we expect. This is what good looks like. This is it being applied in our facility, which, you know, that defeats one of the favorite lines from everybody is that that's not invented here or that hasn't been done here. There's no way that'll work here. So we've got a case that we can show people that it can be successful. Secondly, you've got the documented return that the planner is going to generate through the case study. And third, you've got the ability to use that planner to coach the organization as to what the expectations should be moving forward.
All right, excellent. You mentioned that return on investment. What is that typically from a planner that goes through all of this work? What do we see?
Well, you know, it's funny as we look at our reliability engineers that go through IBL or our maintenance managers that go through IBL, it's very easy to quantify those numbers. And they typically tend to be anywhere from 25 to 35 times the training cost in the first year of implementation. With the planner, because it's not always a hard dollar savings or they don't always have control, it's a little bit harder to put your hands around it. What I would say is that it appears through the graduates that have come through the program that it's somewhere around 10x, but because they're soft dollars, because there is savings that aren't necessarily taken and aren't in the power of the planner to take, it's not always as hard and fast as it is with the other disciplines. But with that said, you know, where we typically see the returns is through eliminating reoccurring failures, through improvement of PMs, through improvements in wrench time. But again, all of those things, I need to take that wrench time improvement and convert it into either insourcing outsourced labor or reducing overtime to be able to show that hard cost savings.
Yeah. The other thing I've seen too with hard dollars saved with planners is when they start developing good job plans, they start the coordination. When you get those planned outages and we take them from what used to be 14 days to 10 days.
Ah, that's a good point.
Now we got 4 days more production that we didn't have, right? And I see that with a lot of different planners. And that's a good way to help quantify some of those hard dollars.
Yeah, that's a great point. We've seen that over the years. When you take that critical path scheduling into play and you take those jobs and you truly plan them out and sequence them in, you really can reduce the amount of time that you're in the maintenance outage, which, as you well know, converts over to real dollar savings and real earnings at the end of the day.
Absolutely. And that's why single minute exchange of dyes or SMED is part of that curriculum.
Absolutely.
Now, any other thoughts on the planner certification that we didn't already cover?
I think the biggest thing for me is, again, it goes back to where I started. At the end of the day, I just don't see enough people using their planners effectively, even within facilities that are doing reliability improvement. So this idea that there's now a university-backed certification for planning and scheduling means that you've got a vehicle for at least making sure that your planner understands what a planner is supposed to do. Now, we still got to address the maintenance manager, the maintenance supervisor, some of the other folks within the organization, but at least you've equipped your planner with enough knowledge that they can educate out and educate up in the organization.
Absolutely. Excellent. Now, we have planners that are thinking that this might be a good idea. What is your parting words of wisdom to them? What are the things you got to tell them to either get ready, take that next step, or any of the above?
All right. So from a planning standpoint, I would say, it's going to be a tough journey. If you're in an organization where, your average response includes things like zip ties, belling wire, and duct tape, then it's going to be even harder because that reactive environment probably means that many of the folks in that organization grew up getting kudos for being fast at being reactive. And what we're talking about here is identifying defects early and planning and scheduling such that we don't have reoccurring failures and we don't have a lot of the other issues. And that's a large cultural shift. So the first thing I would say is planners need to be ready to help to educate the organization around them on what proactivity looks like and how we leave that reactivity behind, but also have the relationship and have the conversation with their manager to start making folks understand as best we can the value of planning and what this is going to bring. And that's why we spend quite a bit of time on that right out of the gate.
All right. Excellent. Now, they've decided they're going to make this journey. What do you see that separates those that are successful in graduating the IBL process, getting that certification, versus those that don't? What's the success factor there?
Well, I think you have to want it, first of all. And if you don't really have a desire to complete the certification or complete the course or try to improve the way you plan and schedule, then you're going to struggle. And my guess is that you probably will either not turn in a project or turn in a rather mediocre project that we all giggle about behind the scenes. And that's not what we want. So that's the first thing. You've got to know that you want it and be ready to go after it. I think the second thing is you got to have that open dialogue with your manager to make sure that you have his or her support. They need to be 100% on board. They need to understand what planning and scheduling is and is not and why we need to do it. And that may mean that you need to get them on one of your coaching calls with your coach and have a discussion. But make sure that, you've got their support, because without their support, it makes this very hard. We can equip the best planners in the world, but at the end of the day, if no one uses the job plans that they create and everyone ignores the schedule that they put together, it has no value to the business whatsoever. So we've got to get the supervisors and the managers on board. And so that's the second key success factor. The third, gets more into the planner discipline itself, and you've got to be willing to be focused. You got to have a will to be focused. You've got to have a will to be detail oriented, to communicate, to be willing to ask for help as you go through and create these job plans. So I think those are three areas that I think are very important to those that want to be successful.
All right. The other one I'm going to add comes down to something simple: time blocking. Making sure that you set aside a little bit of time each day or each week to work through that e-learning, the practical application requirements, your homework. Set aside time to do that. If you take the entire time allowed, you do a little bit each week, it's easy. But if you try and ram it all into the last 2 weeks of the curriculum, it's very, very difficult to get anything good out of it. So time block, make sure you set aside a little bit of time each week to work through this. And that goes back to the the support from your supervisors as well.
Yes, man, that's absolutely critical. You're exactly right. I hate that I forgot that one, because it, you know, what we have seen is those that try to cram it in at the very end, they may get the assignments done, but it's just not the return that the company's hoping for.
Yep. Now, where can people find out more about this planner certification? Where do you want them to go to learn more?
Well, I think there's a couple places you can go. Of course, the UT website will get you there, but I've got a quick way to get there, and that's plannercertification.com. So if you just go to plannercertification.com, you can see a little bit about, you know, what we're doing, how we're doing it. You can see that relationship with UT. You can see the fact that it is coming with a certificate, but it is also coming with credentials, something we've never had before. And so a lot of those details are covered there. If you want to learn more about the IBL process as a whole, which is how we train planners to get them ready for the certification, you can also go to IBLtraining.com. Again, IBLtraining.com. And there's some pretty funny videos and a few things you can kind of see to better understand the process that we use for planning and scheduling.
All right. Excellent. So I will make sure to put the links in the show notes for those, you know, plannercertification.com, IBLtraining.com, all those great things. Now, Sean, I know you're a busy guy. I know you're always all over the place. So what are you involved in at the moment? What activities or events are you going to be at? All those sorts of things.
You know, it's been kind of a fun couple of weeks. I spent last week with a group of maintenance managers and maintenance directors, 120 of them. We spent the whole day talking about all different facets of reliability. And it was just really good to kind of hear their feedback and talk about where they were going and where they were trying to be over the next couple of years. So I've been doing a lot of that. Been doing a lot of RCA problem solving training, which has been kind of fun. But I, you know, we're coming into conference season, and I'm looking forward to that. And I really hope to run into some folks that are looking at planning and scheduling as a focus area moving forward. And so, if you're going to be at the SMRP conference, definitely look me up. I will be there. One of my favorite conferences of the year. Of course, after that, we've got Fluke and eMaint conference down in Florida. We'll be down there for anybody that might be attending that conference. And then I've got a couple regional conferences here in North and South Carolina as well. So if you're out and about, look for me. I'd love to sit down and kind of chat about what you're doing and where you want to go. Certainly can share more of the nitty-gritty details of what I've seen that works from a planning and scheduling standpoint and where you know things don't work. They just don't give us the results that we need. So we've definitely got that. But that's kind of my future here for the next couple months.
All right. Excellent. Well, Sean, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us about the value of a planner certification, what it is, what it means, all those great things. But before you go, I've got one last important question for you. What is your favorite resource for planning and scheduling out there?
Wow. My favorite resource. That's an interesting one. I'm going to attack this one probably not from the direction you were hoping, but I think my favorite resource is the work processes for the organization and how they set the expectation for what a planner is supposed to do. So, you know, when a planner is out there trying to improve their craft and they're trying to plan and schedule jobs, understanding the work processes, understanding how jobs get into the process, how they get planned, how they get, you know, how they get to you as a planner, I think is absolutely critical. So I think that's a great resource. I think the second one, you know, there are many books out there that we could talk about that obviously provide great resources to a planner. You know, the one that comes to mind, I think everybody knows or has heard of Doc Palmer and his Maintenance Planning and Scheduling Handbook. I think that's a great one. But the other one I would say is a lot of the stuff that's available right on the web. Things like these podcasts, blogs that are out on various websites. Maybe we can put some links to some of those in the show notes as well. But those are great, fresh resources that, you know, sometimes talk about not only what went perfect, but what didn't go perfect. And there's probably just as much to be learned from those.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And I will put links to all those in the show notes. Well, Sean, I know you got some work to do to get ready for the hurricane, so thank you for taking the time today. I truly appreciate it.
Yeah, James, I'm planning and scheduling.
I bet you are.
All right. Hey, man, thanks for having me on.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.